maybe if you have kids that are at home and they want attention, they need help doing something, and so you're trying to balance both of those, the rhythm of shopping and how you've had to buy and where you've had to go to buy things that you've needed, and think about just going out and doing stuff, and church services, and has that not been a massively different rhythm for us over the last few months? Absolutely it has. Birthdays, you know, the rhythm of just moving to having drive-by birthday celebrations. How cool is that? And so it's, so much has changed. And that's just been our reality. It's been our norm. Well, I want to talk about that idea of rhythms. If you were with us last week, then I talked about the rhythms of obedience to God and how that is connected to a life of enjoying the blessings of His hope, peace, joy, and love in our lives. And I want to take the idea of rhythms and I want to apply it a little bit further into our lives. And so walk with me as I do this today, because I want to use the idea today that there is a good rhythm. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 42, and so if you have a Bible, if you're using with you in your worship this morning, you want to go there, go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is where I want to be. And in that passage, I'm going to read in a moment to us, there's this picture of the church after the Holy Spirit had descended upon the apostles and some believers who were gathered in a room. And there's this rhythm of how they do life after that. And so I want to take a brief look at that this morning. And you're going to notice today I'm going to be doing a little bit more teaching than I am preaching, and just try to get real specific about where we are as a church and just kind of spark some thoughts for ideas for you and for all of us, really. And so that'll kind of be the way we'll go at that this morning. So with that being said, let me sort of set the scene here in Acts chapter 2, just a little bit more. So the Holy Spirit, right, has descended upon the believers in what we call, they're in the upper room. And in that event, there was, the scriptures say that the Holy Spirit had descended as a flame onto, as like a tongue, a flame on the heads of, you know, the apostles, disciples that were there. As they began to speak, in unknown languages. And so there are other people that are hearing all of this happening and the sound of a rushing mighty wind and all of that. And so they begin to speak, and it seems right that they're speaking about Christ and in these other languages, and the people are hearing that, and they're amazed. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, he stands up and he preaches the first sort of evangelical sermon and helping the folks that day to understand what happened, to understand who Jesus is and what he had done. And in doing all that, there's about 3,000 people that decide to put their faith in Jesus, and they end up coming to faith and getting baptized. And now this somewhat small group of people have got a massive amount of people that need to learn about Jesus and how the scriptures were pointing to Jesus and who he is as the Messiah. So there's this moment where this rhythm has just changed tremendously. And so now they're in this place of figuring out, okay, so now how do we do all of this, and what is that going to look like? And so that's where we find ourselves. And so I have it on my paper, and so I want to read that today. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And check this last part out. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. So let me let me touch on that this morning. I think in this text, there are multiple pieces we could look at. But what I want to do is I want to suggest to us four rhythms that were helpful for the early church, is what we call that period there right after Pentecost and the years moving after that. And we call it the early church. And so what was helpful for them, but what was also helpful for the church as it progressed through its seasons and had to deal with all sorts of persecution and being scattered to different regions around the ancient East. And so as life was just shifting and changing and there were new seasons coming, things they couldn't control, they had to learn to adapt. And so I think there's four rhythms. And one of those rhythms that I want to share with us this morning is this. I think it's the rhythm of going to the Word. Now, when I talk about this, you think about one of the first lines in that text that I read in verse 42. So if you look at verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Your Bible may say to the apostles' doctrine. And so the teaching of helping the people understand how the scriptures of old were pointing to the coming of Jesus actually being the Christ. He was God's anointed Savior for the world, and he would be the King of God's kingdom. And so they're having to teach folks so that they could understand who God is in Christ, but also what he had done. And I think that maybe that speaks volumes for what is a healthy rhythm for us. And so I would suggest that one of the ways in which we go to the Word is to go to the Word to learn about God. And you go, that sounds so simple. I mean, yeah, that's a no-brainer, right? Yeah, but it's meant to be that way, to go to the Scriptures to learn about God. I think it's one thing to learn a story in the Bible, but it's another thing to learn about the God of the story. You catch the difference? I think those are two drastically different ideas. It's good to learn the stories, but it's another thing to learn about the God of the story. It's helpful for us to learn about God in the Scriptures. Learn how the Scriptures tell God's story. Learn how the Scriptures are pointing to Jesus being the Messiah, the Savior, being the hope of the world. Learn how they point to how God has chosen to continue to be with us through the Holy Spirit, and he continues to teach us with his wisdom. Keep learning about God and the way that he has worked, because that's a healthy rhythm in any season we go through. So here's a second part in that. You know, when you go to the Word, I think it's good to learn about God, but I think it's also helpful to be learning from Jesus as being that divine sage, right? Do you know that word sage? That's another word for a wise teacher. And so Jesus is a wise teacher. And probably most of us in the church, we wouldn't disagree with that. We would wholeheartedly agree. And absolutely, he is a wise sage, wise teacher. And what he has to teach us in the Gospels is wisdom that God wants us to learn from, that it would not just teach us, but, you know, maybe there's that moment when you're thinking exactly the opposite of what Jesus is teaching in the Gospels. And it's that time where, you know, we can learn from Jesus that would help us to better understand what the right, wise choices are, the good choices that we need to make in our marriage. When we're trying to work from home and we're getting frustrated because things are not going the way we want and the house is not quiet or the technology is not working the way we need it to be working. But learning, yeah, those things are going to happen. And how does Jesus teach me to respond? How did he respond when life wasn't happening the way that he wanted it to happen? The way that he would have been conducive to what he wanted to teach? How was Jesus responding to that? What was his demeanor, his character like in those moments? And what does he ask of us when life's not going the way we want it to? How does he want us to respond? So learning from that wise wisdom teacher, Jesus, I think those are two great healthy ways. And because we believe in that so much here at New Hope, this is why we as leaders said we want to put Right Now Media into your hands. We want to provide your family with a supplement that you can use at home. You can use it on your laptop, your computer. You can use it on your smartphone when you're out and about and you've got time to kill. You can use it, you know, with all over the place, right? We've already heard Fauna share with how they're using it already with Hope Hope Kids, and I'm so excited to hear that. And so if you haven't got into Right Now Media, we certainly want to encourage you to take advantage of that free gift that we are providing to you. So easy to get set up and then just explore. And I know it'll be a blessing. So we believe in going to the Word as a healthy rhythm. And so we're investing in that. And we hope that that'll be a blessing. All right. So that's one. Let me give you a second one this morning. I like that in this text, in Acts 2, 42 to 47, that there's another part. They were gathering as a community in Christ. Now, we can gather with people that we like and we enjoy being around, but there's something about gathering with other people that share our faith. And you think about the story as you heard me read that. What were they doing? Well, imagine things a lot of folks would do when they gathered together. You know, they were laughing together, singing together. They were talking about their lives together. They were learning together. They were eating meals. They shared communion together. They were just sort of sharing life with people that shared their faith. And that's so critically important when we think about what's a good rhythm that helps us when the life that's got, you know, bombarding us in uncomfortable ways with some uncomfortable and new rhythms that we're trying to figure out, you know, that we can have people that we gather with that remind us that we're not alone, that you're not in this by yourself. And no matter what you go through, you're not alone. I mean, in Christ, you have people that are committed to doing life with you. And I think that's one of the great things that we ought to be reminded of when we think back to our baptism. If you've been baptized in the Christian church, one of the elements of baptism is a time for the body of Christ to confess that they're going to be with you and that they're going to do life with you. And if you need help, they got your back. If you need some counsel, they're going to be there for you. If you just need a word of encouragement or maybe just a hug or somebody just to sit there with you and cry as you cry or rejoice as you rejoice, that they're going to do that. And if you're struggling and you're wrestling maybe with an addiction, they're not going to condemn you and judge you and throw you out into the streets. Man, they want to work with you to help you live out the victory that Christ can give over addictions in this life. He said, you're going to have troubles in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so the church is to be that body by which the presence of Christ's victory can be experienced in each other. And so I think that the early church was experiencing that, and then the church, as it went through the ages and went through a lot of junk, like we go through some crazy stuff that we don't like, they learned that, you know what, I'm not by myself in this. And I don't have to just give up and throw in the towel and walk away because it's not done. I'm not done. There are people who care about me, and they're going to go with me the extra mile. And I need the strength that comes when I gather around them because they're going to pray for me. They're going to love on me and encourage me and all those things that I shared already. And so I think that's a healthy rhythm for us that we see from Acts chapter 2 that we want to keep practicing. I can tell you from our leaders, we believe again in this so much that we were, you know, waiting as soon as we could start gathering folks together for worship. We said, you know, man, let's have a drive-in service where, you know, we can gather together and maybe we have to have the windows rolled up, but at least we could say, hey, and be reminded with all these other faces and these other vehicles, hey, that there's people in this journey with us and that definitely we're not alone. And so hopefully the weather's going to cooperate next week for us. Who knows? But as soon as the weather cooperates for us to be outside for drive-in service, that's exactly what we're going to do. And so I look forward to having you there with us. I hope you can make it. And I would encourage you, bring somebody with you. This may be an opportunity for them to have an experience and be encouraged with what they're going through. Because a lot of people are wrestling still with anxiety, feeling despair. They're struggling financially, feeling distraught, hopeless. And we want to be able to share that, you know what, God has victory over those things. And in Jesus Christ, we can experience those personally, but also together as a community. So come on out. Let's worship together. And we'll, of course, let you know as soon as we can when that's going to be possible for us. So I've given you this two of them. Let me give you a third one this morning. It's this one. Give generously to bless others who are in need. I love this in this passage. Because there were people who had property And so when other folks had a need and they said, well, man, what can we do about this? And he said, well, we could sell this property and use the money that we make off of it to meet that need and spread that money out to take care of the needs that are rising to the surface, whether it was caring for widows or maybe orphans or others who were struggling financially in their community. They said, we're going to take care of them. We're going to bless them and meet their need. And that's exactly what they did. I think that's a healthy rhythm for us, because what it does is it says, this life is not about what I can get, but in fact, this life is about what I can give. Now, it's nice to get stuff, but truly the scriptures tell us that it's better to give than it is to receive. And in fact, God created us to be a people who would cultivate, build, create, to be able to give and bless others. And so we want to mirror that as the people of God and practice that rhythm at home and at church, at school, at work, with kids in the neighborhood or the families, the next door neighbors, doesn't matter. We want to be that people. And one of the ways I think that we, two ways that in this idea of giving generously that we can do this. One is be compassionate by being empathetic. You know what empathetic is? Empathetic is trying to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and trying to feel what it feels like to walk in their shoes in that moment with what they're going through. So if they're struggling to put food on the table, it's trying to put yourself in their shoes and say, man, what does it feel like to be in that moment? Whether you've been in that moment or not, what might it feel like? And to try to feel that feeling. Make sense? And on that end, to say, you know what? Let me try to live simple. Let me try to live simple so that I can give out of my abundance to help bless somebody else who doesn't have an abundance where they have a need, right? So have you ever heard the phrase, live simple so that others can simply live? That's called, right? So it's a life of simplicity. It's saying, I have and I can give to bless others in need, and I want to be compassionate because I see a need and I want to meet the need. And so I'm going to take advantage of that moment and I'm just going to give. I'm going to be a blessing. And here's the thing. In the, you know, sort of, you might call it in the flesh, but whatever term we want to give that, there's a, and maybe you know it, I've wrestled with this before, that we feel like we need to give because we see an opportunity. But does this sound familiar? I've been afraid to give it up because I didn't want to give up something that maybe I'd worked hard for. I spent my money to buy it, and now I'm not going to get to enjoy it or use it. And part of me just wants to just take it and say, no, it's mine, you know. But God says, I challenge you to practice the rhythm of opening up your arms and to give so that others can be blessed. And that might just be, you know what, I'm going to live simple so that others can simply live. I'm going to be compassionate because that is what God has invited me to do. All right, it's pretty simple, right? Sometimes pretty challenging, has been in my life. I still wrestle with that on different times and different occasions. And I find some things I give away more freely, and there's some things that, boy, I sit there and I'll stew over it, you know, and I'll just be paralyzed by trying to figure it out so much. And it's like, it's not hard. You just need to be willing to give and bless. And so I want to challenge you, practice that rhythm of giving generously to bless others in need. Okay, so here we go. Let me just brag on New Hope for a moment. I know it drives them nuts when I do this because they don't do what they do for, you know, accolades, but I got to just do it for a second here. I have been so proud at New Hope talking about giving generously because, you know, you heard it during the announcements. Right, to how Hope Central and how much that the church has collected food and given to Hope Central. If I do the math right, I believe that's over 1,000 pounds of food that we have donated during this pandemic and the season where we haven't been together. I mean, you guys have done so much to be such a blessing to folks who need a blessing in their life. And so I just want to commend you and say thank you for doing that. That's fantastic. There are folks who said, you know what? I'm going to make face masks for people to wear in the medical profession or going to work or just going around town. And they said, you know what? I'm going to do that. And you've made many of them. And there's folks who have made them for the church. So I can tell you this. When we have our first drive-in service, we, of course, invite you to bring your own mask. But if you don't have one and you need one, We have folks that have made some, and so they'll be available for you. We'll have that, and you can have that, okay? And you can take that with you, and that'll be yours to keep. So, I tell you, I think on top of that, folks have just been so good to say, you know what? I want to come alongside somebody else, and I want to help them. And so there's a couple of folks that have started mentoring relationships, too, during this time, investing in other people. They've had to be creative, figure out how do you do this, right? Because we're not supposed to be together all the time. But they figured it out, and it's amazing. And I think that's so much what we have to do. We have to be creative about how we can go to the Word. How can we gather in community? How can we give to bless others in need? And, you know, hey, with got one more I want to give you today. Here's the fourth one. That is to give thanks to the Lord. I know that sounds so simple, but man, it's so important. You know, I think that when we give thanks, an attitude of gratitude, that an attitude of gratitude helps to build a positive attitude. I like that, right? I think an attitude of gratitude helps build a positive attitude. And so for us, one of the ways that we can have an attitude of gratitude is to give thanks to the Lord, of course, in prayer and, you know, and just praises, but also in communion. One of the beautiful ways that the early church practiced giving thanks was in sharing communion together. And so from that time forward, the church has found that when she gathers and she gives thanks to God, that the attitude of gratitude helps to build a positive attitude for what God can do beyond what they understand in that moment. That God wasn't limited by the restriction of sin. He could still save humanity, and he did that. And we have this cross here behind me that is a reminder that Jesus Christ came to earth, went to the cross, he died for us, he was buried, and 3 days later he was risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. And his victory over the grave bought us freedom. And we're so grateful for that. And communion is a great way the church has always been able to say, thank you, God, for what you've done. And that even though I'm going through a hard patch, you have victory over that. You've already overcome sin and all the hard patches. And so I know that you can continue to see me through that. And so as we celebrate in communion, we're able to take a moment and say, God, thank you for what you've done for me in Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're teaching me through your Spirit, whose wisdom is helping me grow up in Christ. And thank you that you're not done working yet, and one day you're returning. And I know that that day's coming, but it's not here yet. So help me to hold on and be thankful for what I do have. I know this is a season where it feels like there's a lot of things we could just gripe about because we're not thankful for. But those are some of the best times for us to step up and say, yep, it is what it is. But hey, I have Jesus to be thankful for. I have my salvation to be thankful for. I have my forgiveness. I have my promise of eternal life. I have God's hope and peace and joy and love that I can be thankful for every single day. And whether you share communion at home and you give God thanks for that, or it's together with the church, and this is a way that we want to continue to give thanks to God. And the first Sunday we can gather together for drive-in service, we're going to have communion together. And I'm looking forward to that. And I hope that it's next Sunday. Of course, we'll keep you posted so that you know. But we do want to gather and celebrate all that we have to be thankful for in Christ. What do you have to be thankful for in Christ? I'm asked today that if you would take time and just reflect, what is it that God has done? Go to the Word. Learn. He'll teach you. He'll reveal it to you. Gather in community with folks that can point you in that direction as well. Give to bless folks in need. And give thanks to the Lord. Have an attitude of gratitude. And I believe it'll help build a positive attitude, and it'll help build a positive rhythm as we keep going through this season. And we're going to get out of this, and it's going to look different, and church will probably be different in some different ways, and that'll be okay. It'll be okay. It'll just be a new rhythm. But we'll keep doing what the church has always done, and we'll get through that, and we'll go on to what lies ahead. And it's going to be fine because the Lord is the head of the church, and we're serving the Lord, and so He'll lead the way. We're going to be fine because we belong to the Lord. I want to ask if I could pray for you, your family, and all of us today. Would you join me in prayer? God, I'm grateful, so grateful, that we do have much to be thankful for today, and that we do have a rhythm that others before us have practiced, and it's been helpful for them, and it's been helpful for many of those who are listening and watching today. And I know it's going to still be helpful and for years to come until your son returns. And I'm grateful for that day. And so until that day comes, Lord, help us have some rhythms of going to the Word and gathering in the community as believers in Christ, gathering in community and giving to bless others in need and giving thanks to the Lord. Oh, Lord, please see us through with that healthy rhythm. Draw us to Jesus. Give us strength in Jesus. And lead us with wisdom through your Spirit. For your name we pray and we keep worshiping. Amen.